And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
I'm rolling. Whenever you're ready to go.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Booker the drive, gets inside, leans in. Knocked away and stolen by Holiday. Phoenix has the foul, and a pinnacle ball throws it down. And a foul. Giannis on the alley-oop. What a turnaround. A chance to take the lead and the turnover. As the Bucks now up by three and a free throw coming up. What a play.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Sunday, everybody. We've got your NBA Finals Game 5 action covered. I'm Dave DeFore, joined by my man Keith Parrish and special guest from Murder, She Wrote and The Athletic, obviously, Seth Partnow. Guys, the Bucks are up 3-2 after a 123-119 win in Phoenix. Finally, we get a road team getting a victory, and this one, it ends exactly the way we would have all predicted. Giannis icing it from the free throw line.
I like that joke, Dave. Giannis.
On a tip out.
Tipping it back, knowing Chris Middleton would catch it. It was a no-look tip back on a very, very crucial, perhaps championship-defining win. So that was a big moment. But yeah, I mean, the Bucks stormed back after that terrible first quarter. And then we had, I mean, it was an unbelievable game, right? That was one of the more entertaining games we had this second half. Unbelievable.
Yeah, leading up to the missed free throw, Drew Holiday, just a fantastic steal on Devin Booker. Absolutely just man game and just ripped the ball out of his hands. Takes it down court. Giannis points at the basket for an alley-oop. And, you know, guys, the best alley-oops are, they come off of bad passes. And this one wasn't a great pass, but Giannis had to go up and get it. Gets an and one because Chris Paul fouls him at the rim. And that was it. That was the game. And you know, you mentioned the big lead that the Suns had built in the first quarter. It just felt like after that first quarter had settled for the Bucks, they were able to respond every single time the Suns tried to throw a punch and the Suns couldn't. Right, Seth?
No, that's absolutely right. I actually think if we go back and look, the key part of this game is the beginning of the second quarter when, with Giannis out of the game, the Bucks actually came back, and I think they was tied by the time Giannis came back in, or thereabouts. And some of that was some great shot making from Milwaukee. Phoenix didn't really miss a shot in the first quarter, and they got some good looks to start the second quarter, and they didn't go in. And kind of from that point, I think, until probably about 5 minutes left in the game, their offense fell into a pattern that we talked about the other day on Nerder, with a lot of Devin Booker dribbling, and he was making a lot of shots, but a lot of people were standing and watching him make a lot of shots.
I mean, they only wound up with two corner three attempts the whole night in this game. Again, something else we talked about on Nerder, they're just not generating good looks. They still didn't put enough pressure on the basket, I thought. And you know, Keith, they're playing right into the Bucks drop scheme.
I'll concede, yes. But also when I watch this game, the Suns as a team, their shooting splits for this game, 55, 68, 91, they lost somehow with 55, 68, 91 shooting splits. Sure, they made 14 of their first 18 shots, and you know, they fell apart in the second quarter. That lineup without Giannis got the Bucks back in it. But it felt like throughout the second and third quarters, no matter what, I mean, I guess maybe surely there were defensive failures by the Suns, but the Bucks made everything. They scored 79 points combined in the second and third quarters. And then in the second half, in that fourth quarter, it felt like, wow, all right, surely the Bucks can't keep up with what they've done in the second. second and third quarters, and the Suns did make a run. And both teams, I thought their defense was good. Just the shot making. The shot making was so eye-opening. I mean, I can't get over both of these teams. 13 for 19 on threes. You know, maybe your attempts are too low, but like the percentages in this game are kind of, I don't know, they're hard to comprehend.
If we're going to talk shot making, we got to talk about Chris Middleton, who just somehow he shoots this like cantilever jump shot with no space, a hand in his eyeball. And it's just this, I don't know how he's getting these shots off, much less sticking them at the rate he does. I mean, Seth, can you give me the analytics on this? Like, how is Chris Middleton making these shots? I just don't get it. Because it just doesn't, I'm not used to seeing a guy not create some space on a step back or anything. He just goes straight up with it, and it's pretty unique. But he is sticking shots in this series. I mean, we talked about the first game in the series, rough game for them. But that guy has been awesome the last few games.
This is going back 4 or 5 years. Our colleague Eric Name has referred to Chris Middleton as the tough shot express for, you know, exactly what you're talking about. And it kind of goes back to a time when the Bucks offense for most of the game was a lot of Chris Middleton tough shots. And now it's sort of been they've improved to the point where it's just at the end of the game where, you know, if there is a lack in Giannis's game, it's sort of isolation, you know, 1-4 low, need a bucket with 3 seconds on the shot clock, go. But you've got a perfect partner for him who is, you know, okay, he's maybe not Kevin Durant or someone at that level in those situations, but just the very like tiniest next tier down. And if you're just, you know, subbing in for Giannis, basically, in that situation, you've kind of it's like a vulture running back, right? You've got it to the 1 yard line, you just need someone to punch it in. And Chris Middleton is elite at punching it in.
Yeah. And I mean, in this game, I mean, down the stretch, it was the Chris Middleton show, Keith.
Yeah, I was going to say he made that huge shot right when the Suns really got, you know, had cut into it. I can't remember what the actual score was in the final minute. He hits that step back. He gets fouled. He seemed exhausted the whole possession. But again, through skill, through repetition of knowing exactly the right angle to arch this shot, knowing that his height was enough to get over Jay Crowder's hands without getting very much separation, and that jumper goes in. And yeah, he makes the big shot, but also the whole game, Drew Holiday as a bounce back game. Last game, he was 4 for 20 from the field, essentially shooting the basketball. He struggled in 3 of the 4 games before tonight. And then he comes out, scores 27 points. And through the first 3 quarters, was just knocking down everything. And I guess, you know, Holiday goes with that Middleton and Giannis. This is what you dream about. If you're a Bucks fan, this is what you've dreamed about. This big three. What is this? I think 88 points combined between those three guys.
Yeah, pretty good math on the fly there. Let's not forget the 13 assists out of that.
Yeah.
Right? Like Drew Holiday with 13, Giannis with 6, and Chris Middleton with 11 assists. So like their big three also generated 24 of the 26 assists that the team had. Now, is that great offense? I don't personally think so, because a lot of that is one pass to a shot, but it got the job done. And you know, you throw that first quarter away, and maybe the fourth quarter, because it was a little clunky for the Bucks, I thought. But those middle two quarters are exactly the sort of thing that we talked about the other day on Nerder, where the Bucks just remembered how much bigger they are than the Suns, and they really just applied that size and pressure on the Suns and beat them down, Seth. You know, like they just played bigger.
They did, and then from that it's easy to say, well, they were getting better looks from three than they were in the series when they all went in. But I kind of think that those were, you know, some nice, easy rhythm threes for Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis because of so much space or so much space being created by the Bucks, you know, getting to the rim, putting pressure on the rim, whether it's Giannis driving or Drew Holiday, you know, still one of my favorite looks for the Bucks offense. Oh, I have a smaller guy on me. Let me just put my ass into you, and you're either doubling or I'm shooting a layup. And he did that to Chris Paul a few times. So, I think that's the very epitome of playing inside out is what they did second and third quarters.
What do you guys think of what Devin Booker's been doing? I mean, this is consecutive 40-point games in the finals for Devin Booker. It feels like he was the one thing basically working for the Suns, but, like, is he playing? Seth, I can see you shaking your head. Like, is he playing into the Bucks' hands? Like, are they trying to get him to go off? Like, or do we think he needs to get his offense in other ways?
I think there's a fine balance here, and this is the big doubt on the Suns going into the playoffs was the lack of experience. And I think the way that kind of shows is a lot of times in the playoffs, it's the team that just plays basketball that has the advantage. And it does feel like the last couple games, Booker has played the moment a little bit. And he's been very effective at doing it. But at the same time, the Suns got here by having great motion on the offense, great quick movement, using the threat of Booker and Chris Paul to get Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Jae Crowder, DeAndre Ayton. And Ayton had a solid offensive game tonight, but they just didn't, Booker had three assists tonight. So I kind of feel like he's just gone a little bit over the edge of being too aggressive. And it's like, it's my time rather than just playing basketball.
Well, after the first two games, we talked about how they were able to generate so many system buckets, and Ayton looked great, and Mikal Bridges looked great, and you know, they were doing so many things, and now it's, well, Booker scored 40 back-to-back in losses, and so I think that I think I'm on the same team that Seth is on, and I'm not saying that Booker scoring 40 is necessarily bad for the Suns, but I'm saying I think the Bucks are fine with it. Score 40, but nobody else is going to do anything to us.
I mean, it's, you know, 40 points, 3 assists is a really good game. 35 points, 7 assists is a better game. And that's, you know, in a close game, that's what we're talking about. At the same time, you know, it's harping on Phoenix's offense when they had a 135 offensive rating.
right. Seems, and we're splitting hairs.
But it's a close game, and these things matter.
Yeah. Let's talk about Chris Paul. If you just look at the stat sheet, not a bad night. 9 of 16 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3, 21 points, 11 assists. Only one turnover, although I argue that first pass, that opening sequence where he threw the ball and kind of led Mikal Bridges out of bounds.
Had one to Cam Johnson later also.
Yeah, so clearly there's something up. We don't know, and we kind of speculated the other day. We weren't sure. Like, you know, we see him work that hand, work that wrist a lot. But he was pretty effective tonight, I thought. But there were some moments that not great.
I mean, I thought he was pretty invisible for the first three quarters, I want to say, really. In the fourth quarter, when Booker cooled off a little bit, And maybe started forcing a little, especially after the Bucks put Jrue Holiday on him. That was when, you know, he hit some threes. He got them into some stuff, and you know, got some looks for Bridges off of ball movement, and hit some shots off ball movement himself, where he kind of started the play, and then the ball went around the horn and came back to him. So I thought that he actually did a big part of their sort of big comeback that made the end of the game so exciting was Chris Paul kind of doing Chris Paul things on offense.
Yeah, I had a lot of confidence in the Suns in that fourth quarter. I felt more comfortable with what the Suns were doing. And maybe I was trusting just that it seemed like Chris Paul was in control and Devin Booker was still getting what he wanted to get. And even if it was maybe the Bucks allowing him to go one-on-one and get these mid-range jumpers, the fact that the Suns seemed to be scoring so easily and it felt like whatever the Bucks were doing dried up just a little bit, where I felt a little bit of confidence. And then I guess until maybe Chris Middleton comes through in the clutch, and then we have that spectacular end with Holiday getting the steal on Booker, leading to that breakout alley-oop, and then the tap back free throw, as you started with, Dave.
Another thing that we speculated on Nerder this week. Wow, it's just a Nerder callback. You know, this is just us stroking our Nerder ego here. But another thing we talked about was potentially a big role player game being the difference in the series. And look, man, Pat Connaughton has been fantastic in the entire series, was plus 10 off the bench, 14 points, hit four threes. Bobby Portis, 9 points off the bench, solid defensively in this game. Like, I mean, even on switches, made a few gambles, but it's Bobby Portis and you live with that. We got a good role player game. I mean, 23 points off the bench from those two guys were big.
Are we going to talk about the other guy who came off the bench for the Bucks?
Well,
okay. You know, well,
what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
eight guys played
for Milwaukee tonight. And yeah.
Yeah.
And
one of them was Jeff Teague. But I want to talk about PJ Tucker because, you know, we kind of harped on this on Nerder and we saw it tonight. The Suns had the most defensive success all night when PJ Tucker was on the court. Because Seth, they just don't have to guard him at all. And they didn't. They were giving guys a rest over there, whether it was Devin Booker or Chris Paul or whoever, and they were using him to play free safety defensively.
I thought that was a big part of the first quarter, I thought, was after it had been mostly Chris Paul for the first four games, kind of hanging out, they switched it up and put Devin Booker in that spot. And it really seemed like him just being bigger and stronger on the baseline, like they got some turnovers. They forced some misses. They had some really good defensive plays kind of to start the game, which is a big part of their 16-point lead after the first quarter. Half of that was them making every shot, but they also held the Bucks to 21. And a lot of that was having just that size on the back line with Booker as the help defender. And the difference between how you can, if you go back and watch plays, you can see they're a full step and a half closer to Pat Connaughton on when he's spacing to the corner than they are to Tucker. And that just makes a huge difference for everyone else in the offense.
Also, Connaughton has just become this dependable three-point shooter for the series. Now for the finals, he's 15 for 30 on three-pointers. Like, he's shooting 50%. He's their best three-point shooter the entire playoffs, actually, but just even the finals, he's even more locked in, which has been exactly what they hoped for from him.
Up 3-2, I have no expectations of a starting lineup change, and by the way, I don't know if I was in charge, if I'd be able to bring myself to do that change. So I'm not knocking it. But Seth, I'm going to ask you, because you tend to defy convention, would you still mix up the starting lineup, even though you've got the 3-2 lead?
I mean, the fact that you've got to this point makes it harder. I mean, I've been calling for that change to the starting lineup basically since early in the Brooklyn series. So yes, I think that should be the starting lineup. However, no, actually, come to think of it, I mean, I'm just thinking back to the start of the game.
Yeah.
How different does this game look if instead of scuffling for the first 8 minutes, the Bucks play bully ball, pounded inside basketball for 48 minutes instead of 40 minutes? Do they win by 14? That probably deprives us of kind of some of the spectacular ending, but, I would, if I were them, I would certainly prefer to win boring.
you don't care if the guys in the video room are entertained or not, right? Like, just get the game over with. Keith, I think that, look, the Bucks obviously are in the driver's seat. They've won three straight games. Going back to Milwaukee for game six, and we know the magic of six games in Milwaukee. You got any predictions here? Are they going to pull this off? This would be iconic, by the way.
It really would be, and it would be so devastating for the Suns. I mean, being up 2-0 in the finals, but I feel like I'm a prisoner to just the recency bias, and every time a team wins, it's hard to imagine the other team winning. But, like, the Suns not taking care of business here and losing this opportunity. And, again, going back to that shooting percentages, they made their shots. They made their shots. Of course, the Bucks finally knocked down some three-pointers, basically for the first time the entire postseason. And so it does feel like, going back to Milwaukee, that this could be it. And that the Bucks have figured stuff out. We're talking about maybe they're not going to do a lineup change, but they do understand now, hey, if we play Pat Connaughton 30 minutes, that's a way better option than what we started the playoffs with. And so I think they've kind of found their rhythm. What if Drew Holiday's gotten all his bad games out of him? If Chris Middleton has gotten his bad games out of him? I mean, if that big three does anything close to what they did tonight, you got to think on the home court, the Bucks are going to take care of business.
Seth, should I drive up for the game six? Is that are we there?
I mean, if you want to go to a 50,000 person super spreader event, have at it. No, but I hearing all of what Keith is saying, and while I agree with it, I also do feel like there's a lot more sort of process stuff that Phoenix has left on the table. I think, like, for the Bucks, there's a few obvious things. Don't play Jeff Teague anymore. But other than that, it seems like for the most part, they have been reasonably consistent. Hey, we're going to go inside. And at the end of the game, we're going to turn the keys over to Chris Middleton and good things will happen. Phoenix still has that twist of kind of getting back to some of their emotion, their balance, their ability to use kind of the fact that, you know, their 3-and-D guys are a little bit overqualified from a skill set standpoint for that role, to get themselves a few more easy buckets. Now, obviously tonight they made everything, but in a game where they don't shoot as well on tough shots, I think I would like to see them get some more easy shots. And I think that they have that in the bag if they can better balance kind of how they're approaching their offensive possessions.
We've also seen in this postseason run so far, you had Chris Paul's closeout game against the Nuggets, his closeout game against the Clippers. Wait, Let me say that again. You've also, we've had Chris Paul's closeout game against the Nuggets. We had another incredible closeout game against the Clippers. What is he going to do now back against the wall? Is he going to do one of those 40-point no turnover games? Is he going to score 35 points, have 12 assists or something? So like back against the wall, what do you see from Chris Paul? Like, I feel like he might have another gear to show us.
Sorry, guys. I think it's Bucks and six. I hate for you guys to have gone through, those monologues there. But yeah, my opinion hasn't changed since we recorded Nerder yesterday. And if anything, this reinforced it to me because the Bucks took a punch in the first quarter. I mean, they took that was being down 16 in a game five is huge. They came back. And was it perfect? No. Was it ugly to start? Yes. Are they doing some of the same silly things that we've been complaining about for a long time? Yes, but I believe in this team, man. And I'll tell you, I really think Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis together is just too much for the Suns at this point. Yeah. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Don't forget about all the podcasts we've got over at the Athletic Podcast Network. If you haven't already subscribed, go to theathletic.com/dailyding and do it now. Thank you guys for waking up with us, although it's weird to do it on a Sunday. Keith, Seth, can you guys do this in unison? You know how we sign off the show? No, you don't have any idea? Okay, Keith, please demonstrate for Seth.
Ding, ding.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.